don't, no baseball references, you won't probably know what I'm talking about. But when Holy Mother Church picked these four readings, the two readings and the psalm and then this gospel, she hit for the cycle. She hit for the cycle. All of them are so, so very good. So I can't preach about all of them tonight, or I shouldn't. I could, but I shouldn't, and I won't, okay, because it's hot in here. But you should go back this week, and you should give them a good read if you haven't prayed with them. All four of them have something really beautiful to say. What I want to tell you most tonight is this, that God is a giver. He is a giver. God is a giver who delights in giving us what we need the most and what will truly satisfy our hearts and our souls. He delights in it. He can't wait to give good things to us. He's a giver. He's not a taker. All of us who are sinners, we believe lies about lots of things, but especially about who God is, that somehow God is going to take stuff from us, right? He's going to take away what makes our lives unique and good and free. The opposite is the truth. He never takes anything except the things that keep us from being truly free and truly alive. So God is a giver. It's his very nature as God to give. Because as God, he doesn't need anything. He doesn't need the world. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need anything. If all of us here become saints, it's not going to make God better. If all of us here go the opposite direction entirely, if we go to the opposite destination than heaven, if we all go to hell, God is not going to be diminished in any possible way. He doesn't need us. But because he doesn't need us, then all he does is love us. He doesn't need us in any way. And so every movement of his is gracious. It's all a gift. It's all what he desires to offer us. And he doesn't need anything in return. It's all free. It's all a gift. It's all grace. As St. Therese so beautifully said, everything is grace. So he gives, and he gives freely. In this first reading, Isaiah 55:1-3, what a beautiful reading. Pray with this one at least this week. Thus says the Lord, all you who are thirsty, come to the water. You who have no money, come. Receive grain and eat. Come. Without paying, without cost, drink wine and milk. Why spend your money for what is not bread, your wages for what fails to satisfy? Heed me, you shall eat well. Come to me heedfully and listen, and you will have life. What a great invitation from our Lord. Come. Everything's free. Now, some of you, you know, if you're like, oh, free stuff, right? Well, in the world, we're like, yeah, free stuff, great. I love free stuff. In the spiritual life, it's a little bit different, isn't it? Free, it's free. Well, I don't know. There's got to be a cost. Is it really free? Yeah, it's free. Well, I don't know if I want that. Well, why wouldn't you want it? It's free. Well, maybe we feel like we need to earn our way. I'd venture to say most of us here probably do feel like we need to earn our way to God's love, that we don't really believe his love is free and unconditional. And there's good reason for that, because every single one of us here has screwed up the spiritual life. We've all made a mess of things. We're all sinners. We all need mercy. And it's hard for sinners to believe that God's love is truly free, that he really means it when he says, come. Even if you don't have what it takes, come. Even if you've done something where you don't deserve my love, come. We don't really believe that. I remember a story back when my office was in St. Charles and the chapel was up there. I was working late at night. It was probably around 11. It was after a Wednesday night mass. My door was open, and a young man came and knocked on the door. And I said, "Hey." And he looked at me. And I said, "What's up?" And he kept looking at me. I'm like, "Do you need something?" And then he said this. He goes, "Father, is God fair?" And I was like, "Man, I certainly hope not. Because if he's fair, I get what I deserve. So I'm banking and trusting that he is merciful." See, God loves us so much. It's not about strict fairness or strict justice. It's about a love that goes beyond that. You see it right on full display in the gospel tonight. What a great gospel this is. Jesus, he is pulled away from the big crowds, right? He's heard of his cousin's death, John the Baptist. And so he pulls away. But as he pulls away from the kind of insanity of the city, right, it's like a magnet. All these people come and follow him into a place where he can actually be free to minister to them. It's kind of interesting how that works, right? And so he pulls away, and this vast crowd comes from all over. And when he disembarks, he sees them. Now you got to think about what it's like for God to see someone. See, we look at lots of things. I don't know how much we see anything anymore. But Jesus sees them. And then here's the line. His heart was moved with pity for them. And he cured their sick. See, Jesus, for that crowd and for us, is moved with pity, or a better translation, compassion. He sees us in all of our neediness, in all of our brokenness, in all of our sinfulness. He sees us, and he's not put off by that. In fact, it's just the opposite. He moves right to them and right to us to bring his healing love. So he starts curing them. He's not afraid of what has made us reprehensible, maybe, what has distanced us from God's love. He is not afraid of any of that. He comes right toward us. And friends, the reason you should pray with this gospel is you should really take the advice of St. Ignatius of Loyola, who encouraged us to use our imagination as we pray with gospel passages. Imagine that scene. What must it have looked like? What was it like to see this vast crowd moving toward Jesus and him seeing them moved with pity, with compassion, and then curing? One person after another. One family brings forward a broken family member, and he cures and heals. Someone else, some internal struggle that she or he could never share with anybody, and Jesus knows and sees and heals. What must that have been like? All day long. All day long. Jesus, tireless, healing, reaching out, bringing what people need the most. Then, things get practical and pragmatic. The sun starts going down. And so, here we have Matthew telling the story. When it was evening, the disciples approached him and said, "This is a deserted place, and it is already late. Dismiss the crowd so they can go to the village and buy food for themselves." And Jesus says, "There's no need for them to go away." See, the disciples have a pragmatic approach. And Jesus is like, "I don't want them to leave. I want them to remain with me." He'd say the same thing to all of us if we were in that crowd. "I don't want you to leave. I want you to stay with me." But now watch how the incarnate Lord works, because he's incarnate. He took on flesh. He entered into creation. See, God, who could do anything, he could snap his fingers and feed everybody. Maybe in a spiritual way. Or maybe he could just magically multiply things right in front of their face, right? But he doesn't do that. And it's really interesting what he does. he starts drawing in the disciples. And he says, give them some food yourselves. Well, they don't have enough food. But it's not about them not having enough food. The move is this. Because God is a giver, he's inviting his disciples to give. It doesn't matter how much food they have. Do they have enough? No. Do they have anywhere near enough? No. They have 5 loaves and 2 fish for something that probably was around 20,000 people. What they have is so little. But it's not about what they have. It's about if they will give it to the Lord. And so he says, give it to me. Give me what you have. And then watch what happens. Jesus multiplies those loaves so that everyone has enough, everyone is satisfied, and there's leftovers. Everyone has enough, everyone is satisfied, and there's leftover. Because that's how good God is as a giver. He is a giver, and he's never outdone in generosity. And notice this detail. This is, I think, really crucial for all of us here tonight. He involves the disciples. When he begins multiplying the loaves, he gives the loaves to the disciples, who then give it to the people. He gives it to them so that they can give. Yeah, that's what it means to follow Jesus. To give what you have to him so that he can bless it, make it abundant, and give it back to you so that you can give it to someone else. That's the move. It's so very important. It's the lesson we need to learn as followers of Jesus, of this God who is so generous, who wants to give so much. And so for our calling tonight, we're called to receive the first reading. Come. You don't have any money? No problem. Come. You feel like you don't deserve it? Yeah, you don't. You feel like you're not worthy? Yeah, you're not. That's exactly why the church has us pray that prayer before the Eucharist. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, my soul shall be healed. It's not about being worthy. It's about being invited, desired by God to come. So we come and we receive from him. We're invited to do what the apostles did in this gospel, to give him what we have. 5 loaves. Wow, what good is that? Just give it. I don't even have 5 loaves. I got 5 crumbs. Just give it. Watch what Jesus does. If you give to him, watch what he does with your gift. So we come to receive. We give what we have. We make an offering of our heart, of our life, everything that's there. Put it all on the altar. And then we watch and see how he transforms that gift. We receive back the gift, augmented, blessed, super abundantly charged with his life. And then, friends, we have a great opportunity to give away what we've been given. Listen now, there's a reason we put that giant verse on the balcony so that you leave seeing Matthew 10:8. Without cost you have received. Without cost you are to give. That's Jesus' words to his apostles. That's his words to us tonight. Come and receive. It's free. And then, because you've received, give, and give just as freely. Friends, that's what it means to follow Jesus. That's what it means to know his love. That's what it means to really believe that we're loved, in our willingness to give that love, to give Jesus himself away to other people. Our God loves us. Let's take advantage of that love. Receive it as a gift. Take it into our hearts, and then give it to every person that we meet.